Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett coming to you. This is the Monday broadcast, and I hope that you had a really, really great weekend. It is unbelievable that we are starting to feel some of the nice, cool temperatures of the fall. And I love fall. It's my favorite time of the year. I look forward to fall because I love the change of the seasons. I love the fact that winter is coming. Not that I like winter, but I like winter holidays like Christmas and all that God does during the winter months. And so I hope as you listen today that you are looking forward to a great fall. As a matter of fact, as you look at the month of October that's coming up soon, every year we do a fall festival. And so this year we're going to be doing the fall festival on October 31st, okay? Now that is on a Saturday. We would love to have you come on out to Hickory Ridge Community Church from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And I know that's a Halloween day, and so that's why we're doing the Fall Festival from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And if you want to get home in time to do what you need to do that evening with all the people that may be coming to your house for trick-or-treating, assuming they're going to do that this year, but I'd invite you to come and be with us from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. We have all kind of events that are going to be happening on that day, and we'd love to get to see you. I'd love to get to know you. And so if you happen to come, just say hello to me. Tell me that you listened to me on the broadcast, and I look forward to interacting with you and your family. This is a family event. Again, October 31st on the Saturday, Halloween Saturday, 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Well, as you know, on our Monday broadcast, I always try to recap what happened at Hickory Ridge Community Church throughout the weekend. And we had a great weekend, and I'm so excited about what God is doing. And if you have been following our broadcast, you know that I was soliciting, and I hate to use that word soliciting, but I was asking for contributions for a church building that we are building in Nigeria. And we have a dear friend, Pastor Friday, is doing an amazing job in Nigeria, and he is building a church building, and the cost for that building is about $23,000. Well, I want you to let you know that the generosity of God's people has come through, and we raised over and above that amount of money, and so what a joy it is for us to be able to send that money to Pastor Friday, and I have pictures of what's going on with the development of that building and how it's coming together. There's 26 columns for this building. And it is amazing to me what God is doing and how he is working, not only here in the United States, not only here in Hampton Roads, but also throughout the world. What a great God we have. What a mighty God we serve. And the gospel is not being constrained because of the coronavirus. The gospel is going out boldly and strongly throughout the world. I'm so happy that we are involved in worldwide missions. Well, today I want to talk to you about a very important subject. And this is the subject of patience. I got to admit to you that this is not one of my strong points. This is one of those things, as a matter of fact, maybe you recall people telling you, well, don't pray for patience. You say, why not? Because James tells us that the trying of our faith produces patience. And so I was always told as a kid, hey, don't pray for patience because if you pray for patience, God's going to ratchet up the trials in your life and put the pressure on you. And that's true. And that is not a bad thing. That is a good thing, that God will pressure us. And James says that the trying of our faith produces perseverance. And really, that's what patience is. I'm reminded of a funny little story of a dad was out shopping at a grocery store with his son. And his son was, I guess you could say, a poster child for ADHD. And the son is knocking the cans off the shelves, and he's taking the groceries that are in the cart and throwing them on the floor. And the dad kept saying these words over in his head and loud enough so that people could hear him right around him. He said, now, easy, Donald. Keep calm, Donald. Steady. Now, boy, it's going to be all right. Easy, Donald. And a mother was shopping in this store and noticed this dad and was so impressed with the patience of this dad. And she decided to bend down to the little boy and says, well, now, what seems to be the trouble, Donald? Oh, no, said the father. He's Henry. I'm Donald. Now, some of you will understand what that's like to go through a time like that when you are talking to yourself, asking yourself to please be patient. Just settle down. Well, we are not by nature a very patient people. Timex Watch Company asked people how long they would wait before taking action during various situations. For example, you come up to a red light, you stopped, the light turns green, and the car ahead of you does not accelerate. How long will it take you before you start honking that horn at that green light? 3 seconds. Now, for sofas, that might be a little bit of a long time, right? They asked also when you're in a movie theater, right, getting ready to watch a movie, and they always tell you to silence your cell phones, and there's always somebody there that's talking, right? Well, how long will it take before the average American will turn around and say, shh? Well, that was 26 seconds that we would tolerate people talking in a movie theater. Well, how about if you're at a restaurant and you're waiting for a seat, right? You're waiting to be seated. How long will you wait? The average American will wait just 13 minutes. Well, how long will you wait for a blind date to show up? 20 minutes. Now, as we think about this, we have discovered that we are really a people that are not very patient. We want things done and we want them done immediately. Paul is telling us in Hebrews chapter 12 that we're to run with patience, the race that is set before us. Now, what is patience? Patience is that power to work under stress, to continue to work under a pressurized environment without losing hope. Isn't that great? I'm not losing hope. I'm not in deep anguish. I realize that I've got to hang in there. And maybe you're listening to me today and you're looking at your marriage and you're saying, you know what? I could use some patience in my marriage. I need a lot of patience for my spouse. She is, or he is, plucking my last nerve. Have you ever been there? I tell you what, marriage will bring out the worst in us. Marriage will develop the best in us if we will learn to be patient. In the Old Testament, Isaiah said this, Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord, those who are patient on the Lord, will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So waiting on the Lord is not this idle do-nothing waiting on the Lord. It is that I'm actually running with the Lord as I'm waiting on the Lord. We are told in the book of Galatians that we should not grow weary when we're doing the right thing. For at the right time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. In other words, if we don't lose patience, God will deliver something great, a harvest in our lives. We learn that patience is developed by pressure being applied to the area that God wants our faith developed. James reminds us that the testing of your faith develops patience. You know, patience is one of those virtues that is a character trait. It is one of the 9 fruit of the spirits that we are given at the moment of salvation. Now, we are given the seeds of success when it comes to the matter of patience, but it must be developed. Let's look at James chapter 5 today, and I want to pick it up verse number 7. Be patient, says James, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, he says, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Well, there's 3 things I want to talk about in the broadcast today, and I'll probably talk about 2 of them today and then we'll pick it up in tomorrow's broadcast. I want to talk to you about when to be patient, why I should be patient, and how I can be patient. The when, the how, and the why of patience. Well, let's begin first of all, according to what James says, when are we to be patient? Well, here's the first thing he teaches us from verse number 7. He says, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. And then he uses an illustration of a farmer. I am blessed to be pastoring a church that is surrounded by fields. This year, we were surrounded by cornfields and soybean. And they have just recently harvested all of the corn. And just yesterday, I noticed that they were coming with the combines and they were taking away all the corn husk. And an amazing process to see what happened. But here, James reminds us that the farmer waits on the land to yield its valuable crops. So when are we to be patient? When circumstances are unavoidable. Now, we think that worry will control a situation. To worry about something, you think that you can change it, but really to worry about something that you cannot change is senseless. Now, on the other hand, to worry about something that you can change is also senseless. Because if you can change something, don't worry about it, change it. If you can't change something, don't worry about it. You can't change it. The farmer understands there's certain things that he cannot change. He cannot change the weather. He cannot change the amount of rain that falls on his crops. He cannot even control what's going to happen as far as how hot it's going to be or how cold it's going to be, whether or not there's going to be some kind of an infestation of some kind of a bug. He has no control over that. So he waits patiently. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't do anything. After he plants those seeds, he waters them, he fertilizes them, he removes their weeds. He does a lot of praying during that time, and he waits, but he's working as he is waiting. The farmer plants the seed, yet he has no control over the weather. You see, when you think about patience, Ken Crockett said this: once God develops the attitude of patience in you, life becomes easier. So petty little things don't bother you anymore. So the more patience I have developed in my life, the less I am bothered by petty things. He continues on by saying, Satan knows that if he can cause you to lose your patience over the little things, you will not have enough fight left in you for the big things. What is he saying here? He's saying that Satan wants us to be diverted in our attention to get ourselves all worked up over little things, things that don't really matter. So we lose our energy fighting non-significant things, so we have no energy left when the big battle comes our way. So we learn, first of all, today that we are to be patient when circumstances are unavoidable. Number two, we're to be patient when people are unchangeable. James continues on as we go down to verse number 10. As an example of patience, he says, those who are facing problems, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And here he uses an illustration of the Old Testament prophets, and they were really given a tough job. I tell you, I'm glad I wasn't called to be an Old Testament prophet. I think about a guy by the name of Jeremiah, whose name is synonymous with weeping. Now, why was he the weeping prophet? Well, Jeremiah wrote, of course, the book of Jeremiah, but he also wrote the book of Lamentations, and he's lamenting over the fact that the people of Israel have never responded to his message. His heart is broken, is crying out to the people of God. He's crying out to God, and he says, I have spent 40 years asking my people to repent of their evil ways. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah did a lot of crazy things to actually act out the prophecies that God gave him. But after 40 years of doing this, not one person converted to his ministry. Not one person had a change of heart. So when people are unchangeable, don't lose your patience. One of the things I'm going to do when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jeremiah, I said, how in the world could you have been so patient? You know, God gave him patience for that time. You have anybody in your life right now who refuses to change? Do you know how difficult it is to live with that kind of person? We need patience with people. They may never change. What are you going to do about it? James says, you can't really do a whole lot, but you can have patience. Now, that word patience in the Greek is that word that is translated microthumos. Micro or macrothumos, meaning long, macro meaning long, and thumos, from which we get the word thermometer, meaning heat. So this word patience literally means it takes a long time for me to get hot. In other words, I have a long fuse and I don't just blow up. I don't get overheated easily with people. I'm one that is able to be patient with people. We learn from Psalm 37, verses 7 through 9, that we're to be still in the presence of the Lord, waiting patiently for him to act. I have discovered something about God, and maybe you've discovered this too. It seems like I'm always in a hurry, but God never is. I always want things done yesterday, but God says, in my time, I will make all things new. So the psalmist reminds us to be still in the presence of the Lord and to wait patiently for him to act. He continues by saying, oh, don't worry about those evil people who prosper. Don't fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Don't lose your temper. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. Now, I want you to know that patience is not found in worrying about the wicked, but in waiting on the Lord. So we've learned so far that we are to be patient when circumstances are unavoidable, when people are unchangeable, and then thirdly, when problems are unexplainable. You know, life is not fair, but I don't understand why God has been so good to me in spite of the fact that I am messed up. God has blessed me. That doesn't seem fair. As we look at this next point of problems that are unexplainable, James uses the illustration of Job. Now, I love the book of Job. I love the character of Job. And so this is a classic example. He tells us in James 5:11, you have learned of the patience, or you've heard about the patience of Job. Now, Job was the guy who played in the World Series of Suffering, and he won the championship. He was the wealthiest man that ever lived. He had everything going for him, and yet in a two-day period, his whole world fell apart. He went bankrupt. His children were killed. He got an incurable disease. He had this deadly and painful boils growing on his body. Now, you think you've had troubles, and you think you've had a rough day? Within 48 hours, Job lost his family, his friends, his finances. He was suffering. He suffered materialistically. He suffered physically. He suffered socially. He suffered spiritually. I mean, in every kind of way, Job suffered. As a matter of fact, it got so bad one day, Job's wife comes to him and says, "Hey, Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" Now, isn't that quite the support system? And maybe you think that your wife is not supportive. God allowed the devil to take away everything in the life of Job except his nagging wife. You know, the worst part of Job's suffering was that he had absolutely no idea why it was happening. For 37 long chapters in the book of Job, God doesn't even talk to him. God doesn't even give him a hint as to why this is happening. There is no apparent reason for his misfortune. Oh, of all the people, Job had the privilege of saying, "Why me?" But in Romans 12:12, it says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." So we've learned today that we have some work to do on why we should be patient and when we should be patient. Let's look at why we should be patient. Well, number one is because God is in control. This is a valuable lesson that has taken me a long time to learn. You see, when I was young, I used to think, well, if it's to be, it's going to be because of me. And I'm going to put things together, and I'm going to be a mover and shaker, and I'm going to be the one that will drive people to do the right thing. I'm going to build something great, something that will show how powerful I am and how wonderful I am. And then God does an amazing thing when it comes to this whole being puffed up, filled with pride. God brings people into your life that will humble you. Sometimes God does it through your wife. Sometimes he does it through your children. I remember one time I kind of lost my temper with one of my kids. And we're blessed with five kids, and I love my kids. And what a blessing children are. And I remember one time I was getting after one of my kids. I can't remember which one it was. And I was starting to lose a little bit of my patience with them. And my voice was starting to raise. And my temperature was starting to be ignited. And I remember my son said to me, he said, "Dad, you ought to listen to your own sermons on anger management." So can you believe that? Oh, man, that humbled me. That put me in my spot, right? But if we can learn, we can be patient because God is in control. I'm not in control. God is in control. Look how James puts it. James chapter 5, verse number 8. Be patient and stand firm. Why? Because the Lord's coming is near. Now, three times in this book of James, we hear that phrase, "the Lord's coming is near." Rest your hearts on that ultimate certainty. I may not be able to control a whole lot of what's happening around me, but my God is in control. I can rest in the fact that he has that control and he has that ultimate certainty of what's going to happen in the future. Revelation 14:12 says this. This means that God's holy people, that's you and I, we must do something. Because God is in control, we must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining our faith in Jesus Christ. So we learn that we should be patient because God is in control. Here's the second thing that we need to be patient about, because not only is God in control, but God actually rewards those who are patient. You know, we're living in a day and age that does not really appreciate and value life. I'm really surprised at how far we have come, but then I think about the fact that if we don't value life of the unborn, why should we value life of the born? In recent years, as recently as February of this year, 2020, there was an article that was entitled, "I Wish I'd Never Been Born." And this was written by a 27-year-old Indian man named Raphael Samuel, who announced his fact that he's going to be suing his parents, and the reason he is suing his parents is because they gave birth to him. He said, "It was not my decision to be born. Human existence is totally pointless." He decided that he would sue his parents because they decided to have him, and he didn't ask to be born. Well, nobody asked to be born. Life is a gift that is given to us. You know, this movement actually began way before February of this year with this article by a 27-year-old man. It began earlier than this. As a matter of fact, there's a South African philosopher who back in 2006, David Benatar, wrote a book. And in his book, it says, "Better to Never Have Been, The Harm of Coming into Existence." This is what he asserts. Life is a procession of frustrations and irritations. Many lonely people remain single, while those who marry fight and divorce. People want to be, people want to look, people want to feel young, yet they age relentlessly. And then he does something really unusual. He quotes part of the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. He takes Ecclesiastes 4:3 and then comes up with his own conclusion. And he says this. He says, "Never to be have been born is best. But if we must see the light, the next best is quickly returning from whence we came." In other words, Bonatar is saying that we are best not to be born, aka abortion. But if we happen to see the light of day, the best thing for us to do is go ahead and quickly leave this life, aka suicide. He says that it is intrinsically cruel and irresponsible of people to decide to have children. Now, this is an unbelievable movement when you think about it. It wasn't too long ago that we used to say, you know, if you get married and you decide to not have children, that might be an act of selfishness. You just kind of want to do your own thing. You don't want to be bothered with children. And I want you to know that children are a heavy, heavy burden, but they're also a blessing. Yeah, they cost a lot of money. They cause a lot of stress. But the Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord. And as a matter of fact, they actually provide protection for us. The psalmist says that children are a heritage of the Lord, and blessed is the man, using an illustration of an archer with his quiver full with arrows, is the man or the woman that is filled with children. They're a blessing. Well, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5. "As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. Blessed are those who insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kind of evil against you because of my name. Rejoice and be glad, and understanding that great is our reward in heaven." Well, Job went through a really difficult time. There's no doubt about that. 37 chapters of suffering. The second half of Job's life was more blessed than his first. God doubled everything that he had. So I want you to know it pays to be patient. There are all kinds of rewards that you're going to gain. There are all kinds of blessings that you are gaining as you are patient. But your character also grows as you get along better with other people. You're happier as you reach your goal. You see, there are so many benefits of being patient. God rewards our patience. You see, you're going to be honored not only by God, but also you'll be honored by others. Isn't it a great compliment for somebody to say, "He's a patient person"? I want you to know there is a virtue in being patient. We are told that God actually blesses us when we are patient. What is the third point that I want to share with you briefly, and I'll develop it in tomorrow's broadcast. But the third reason why we should be patient is because not only is God in control, not only does he reward patience, but God is working things out. Yes, God is working things out. And I want you to know that a delay in the time that God gives us is the time that God gives us to find and fix a weakness. When God delays something, He is working something in us. I hope you join me tomorrow for the broadcast as we develop this point more. But we're going to look deeper into the perseverance of Job and see what God finally did in his life and how God brought compassion and mercy to Job. Job learned perseverance when it appeared that God had abandoned him. So I want you to know this today on this broadcast, that a delay does not mean God is denying something from you. He is delaying something to develop something in you. And we'll talk further about this tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening to the broadcast today. I pray that God blesses you. I pray that you drive safely as you head on down the highway. I will see you tomorrow.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.